Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Welcome back. Johnny Ward's popped back into studio because there's a story you want to discuss, Johnny. And in short, it is that Galway United, relegated into Division 1 last year, as people may remember, are on the road very much now to new ownership from Saudi Arabia. So this
not
was
not so much the road to Damascus, but the road to Riyadh, yeah.
This was decided upon on Monday. About the guts of 100 paid-up members were invited to attend a special general meeting. They voted on the situation. I think 68 members voted in favour, 10 against, 1 abstained. So that's a green light, and there is new ownership coming to Galway. This is pretty much the first time we've had Middle Eastern investment in Irish football.
Yeah, I can't think of any Middle Eastern player either who's played in the League of Ireland. We've had some exotic players, some from Africa, some from kind of different, even Korea, but I can't think of Middle Eastern players, but definitely no Middle Eastern investment. And I think a lot of people will be watching anxiously to see how this goes, because Ireland is, it's not a country that would come to the mind, I would imagine, of many people in the Middle East when they think of football. But basically, I was at the meeting on Monday. 68-10 was the vote, which translates to 86%. And it was obvious from fairly early on in the meeting that it was going to carry. In fact, a few of my journalistic colleagues were on to me, and I was like, right that it's happened and just take it for granted. And if it doesn't, I'll let you know as soon as. But it was obvious it was going to carry.
I saw the meeting was reported as quite probably from you, if you were there, as an amicable 2 hours in the hotel.
Yeah, like I've been at some Galway United meetings, and I suppose Galway United has a fairly somewhat checkered history, and there's a lot of factions in Galway, and you know, a lot of kind of infighting, and you go to some meetings and it ends up kind of into a bit of a row between people, really, Go United. But that wasn't the case the other night. There was a very good atmosphere. Nearly everyone was in favour. Now, a lot of the people who spoke, including myself, would have been in favour, but with some caveats. You know, that ideally we don't want to be going down the road of foreign investments and, you know, people who've had no interest in the club for most of their life and all of a sudden take an interest. You'd be a little bit wary. But
because, sorry to interrupt, but it's worth clarifying for people if they're wondering about the current ownership. As I understand it, it's the Galway United Friends Co-op. So that's a group of less than about 100 fans, which strikes me as an ideal situation. Again, the polar opposite of Middle Eastern investors who never heard of Galway United, I presume, more than a couple of months or a few years ago, as opposed to this group who've grown up with Galway United and love Galway United. So that's the current situation. That's what you're trading in here.
Yeah, I think the figure is 107 members, which I made the point at the meeting. I think that's not good enough, really. I just think it shows that we haven't come far enough as a fan-owned club. You know, there should be like really 300, 400, 500 people in the co-op, not 100. And I don't even know. I mean, there are options of putting in money every month or whatever, but I don't know how many of those are putting in much money, or are they just paying a nominal membership fee? Because there are different packages, but that's not really enough. And I thought that kind of emphasised that the fan owned, even though it's only 6 months old or whatever, in the fan ownership, it has its limitations. Like if you look at Cork City, I've made this point. If Cork City had the Saudi investments and they had to vote for it, I'd say it'd be a very close vote, because you're giving up fan ownership, which is clearly working, and Cork are doing very well financially. Galway United aren't. Galway United have no assets, none. None of the players is really worth anything. No home ground, no ground even to train on, no ground for the under-15s, 17s or 19s or under-13s next season to play on. Nothing. So that's where we're at, and that's why I thought it was a no-brainer that you'd accept the Saudis.
So that co-op, that United Friends co-op, is 6 months old.
Yeah, so the co-op would be older than that, sorry, but it took over sole running of the club before this season. So that was kind of hailed as a big deal, which rightly it was, but it hasn't translated into crowds. It hasn't really, the atmosphere is no better at the club.
Okay.
Big issues with AM&DC Park as well, in the sense that they've no real say over catering. There was a bar there last year that was closed down this year. The experience at AM&DC Park should be better, but Galway United are kind of handicapped in the fact that they don't own the ground. Now, that's not going to change here, but the Galway FA might have a more amicable relationship with Galway United going forward, because I think it's needed for football. But the Saudi guys they might have some slightly wacky ideas about it, but they're big into this idea of the entertainment of the game and making it a better experience, because it's not really good enough. If I went to a Connacht rugby game this year, and I've no real interest in rugby, But I found it a very enjoyable experience. You could have a beer and there was a good atmosphere. Now, the location of the sports ground is ideal as well. Yeah. It's great. Like, yeah. I actually met you in a bar quite close to it there one night. A great, one of my favourite. But you're so close to town.
Yeah.
And Terryland lacks that because it's like a 20-25 minute walk. But when you get there, then you can't get a decent cup of coffee and the food situation is bad. So, like, Galway United is underachieving on so many levels.
Okay.
And this will change.
What do we know about the new owners?
That was probably one of the main, I suppose, issues in the room on Monday night was the due diligence process and what do we know about them? Not very much.
Right.
But one of them is a son of an ex-director of Al Hilal, which would be, I think, the main club in Saudi Arabia. And funnily enough, John Flannery, who would be the Galway United secretary, and he went over to Riyadh, he made the point at the meeting that the Saudi clubs are actually in the process of being privatised at the moment because they're actually state-owned, he said, which I thought was quite interesting. One of the main question marks is, are these people linked to the government or the royal family? And I think they're pertinent questions because I have grave reservations about the Saudi regime, as we all should, and human rights and all that. So I don't actually know.
Seen them described as two businessmen.
Yeah, although one of them was described as a sheik as well. Now, if he were a sheik, that's an implication that he's a member of the royal family. But I can't clarify that. But as far as I know, we haven't been able to show that they are. I think one of them was involved in one of the investors actually made his money selling potatoes
right.
in Saudi Arabia. So he has a big deal where they sell like the equivalent of Walker's crisps over there. They make them from their potatoes. But he's involved in agriculture over there. But I think if you look him up, he's involved in some agricultural board and it was put to, you know, the guys at the top table, like that would imply that he's part of the government. But then John Flannery counted that he actually met the Saudi ambassador and he didn't think he was part of the government. So they're obviously very wealthy guys. One of them is quite young. Another of them has been to Ireland. He spent a year here and he spent time in Galway and he really warmed to the place. And I thought that was encouraging. But in fairness,
not to ask a silly question, but if you're having a two-hour meeting and taking a vote on whether or not to hand over our club, admittedly for money, and it looks like an initial €500,000 investment. When the question is posed to the board, who are these guys? Surely there should be a very, 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 very satisfactory and thorough answer laid out for everyone to vote on. Like, it strikes me as far from ideal that we're still saying, well, we don't quite know who exactly they are or what their exact links are to the regime or the government or the royal family. We kind of, you know, we're still looking them up. That would have struck me as the moment in the meeting where someone goes, hang on here, what? Give us an answer to this question before we vote on it.
What's the alternative, Joe?
Carry on.
Carry on and possibly face extinction again, really. And I mean that. I mean, Galway United is surviving at the moment, but barely surviving, and it's languishing in the first division. And I've made this point. The draws for Europe were made today. Mm. And I like going to the European games. I get a great kick out of it. But I've never seen Galway United play in Europe. In 20 years following them have I seen them. And the gap between Galway United and Dundalk.
No, I accept that.
It's colossal. Look,
and I appreciate the club going into extinction is not good. But I suppose the alternative is let's go in with our eyes open.
Yeah.
So if they are part of the royal family, if they are part of the government and people want to be pragmatic and say, well, we don't love your politics, but we need the money, then at least let's go in with eyes open as opposed to in 5 months' time. Beginning to find out who they are. Like, it just strikes me as absolutely bizarre situation to not fully know everything about them.
Well, Shane Keegan left the club on Monday, and that's kind of... As the manager, yeah. And Shane was there for a year and a half, and he basically left the club because we're not doing very well. We were favourites to win the first division, and I think we're sixth at the moment.
Yeah.
We're not going to finish top by the looks of it. We might get a playoff position. And even then, we'd be long odds against to actually get promoted. But I think the Saudis wanted to see if it could be salvaged this season. So maybe it was rushed a little bit. But Jonathan Corbett, who's a successful businessman, and John Flannery, they complement each other quite well. John Flannery was the secretary who went to Riyadh. He's an accountant, and he has an accountant's head about him. Jonathan Corbett might be... more of a guy who'd take a punt. But the two of them went over to Saudi and they came back with very, very strong feelings that these guys were to be trusted. They really did feel that. They said that they went over there with their eyes open. They didn't know what to expect. It was during Ramadan, and it was, I mean, I've never been to Saudi, but the Middle East is a different world from my experience. And I've been there during Ramadan. To the two lads, it must have been an absolute culture shock. And they were sitting on the floor of this room in Riyadh with people they'd never met before, who were probably dressed in traditional Saudi attire or whatever. But they got a very good vibe off them. And they asked a lot of probing questions in the sense of, what's in it for you guys? Why do you want to do this?
So what are the answers to those questions?
They wanted to own a club with aspirations to make it to the Champions League.
But look, that's not Galway United. That's nonsense.
How do you mean?
Well, Galway United are nowhere near the Champions League.
Not at the moment, but Galway United now have a lot more money than they had 2 days ago.
Yeah. I don't know if
City were drawn.
I just don't know if they're looking for Champions League football.
That's one of their aspirations. They wanted to... Galway United are a long way from the Champions League at the moment. Dundalk weren't that far off against Legia Warsaw, but it's actually gotten harder since. And, you know, Cork City are playing Legia, and Cork would not be expected to get through that. UEFA have made it very hard for the Irish clubs, but on the flip side, the European money is very good. And I do think one of their main aspirations is getting Saudi players into Europe. And I've no real issue with that. I just hope it's done in the right methods and, you know, getting them through Ireland. Ireland is a growth league. Like the League of Ireland is definitely something that's on the up as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I think it's improving. And I also think, Joe, they looked, there's a Galway connection to all of this who suggested in the first place, who has links to Saudi Arabia. And he's kind of somewhat involved in football in Galway. But I'd say they looked at the books and they just said, like, this to them is it's pittance.
Yeah,
The money it takes, I've made this point over and over, the money it takes to run a club in Ireland is very, very small, realistically. It's like a few hundred grand maybe would run the club for the year. I don't think that's much money. Mm. You know, I think we're miles behind, like Scotland, even in that regard. Mm. So I think they can do this on the cheap. And it's a young guy who's primarily going to take over. They're going to send over a COO to run things. They'll take over 75% of the club. They do not want to... cut ties with the community around like that. And in fairness, they've made this point over and over, they want investment in youth. And they said, there's no way we're going to bring over a load of Saudi players to basically populate this team, because they wouldn't have the interest of somebody from Galway.
Did anybody voice strong concerns or make a strong contribution at this meeting on Monday?
Yeah, so Ronan Coleman, who would be from my neck of the woods, and he's been an absolute warrior for Galway United, he has reservations.
Just a fan?
Yeah, although he's been involved. Like, Ronan has done everything you could feasibly think possible for the club in terms of
one of those volunteers.
Yeah, types. Just selling lotto tickets and organising stewarding, stuff that nobody wants to do. And that's interesting now, how that'll work out when these guys come in. Will that ethos still, you know, survive that you have all these volunteer guys? Ronan would have reservations about it, because in fairness, I think he's like, we've worked too hard to give up fan ownership. Mm. And I could see his point. And Bernie O'Connell, who would have been the club president, a true gentleman and one of the longer term supporters, he spoke for, I'd say, about 5 minutes. We're all entitled to a minute, and Bernie went a bit over. But because Bernie's just a legend, good friend of Michael D. Higgins, we let him do that. And he said he did it with a heavy heart. He was going to vote yes with a heavy heart. And I could see where he's coming from. And he invoked memories of all the old chairmen who kept the club alive and all that. We have to embrace it, Joe. The money they're putting in is just out of our stratosphere in terms of what we would have expected. And it's come out of the blue, and we're just very fortunate that it's Galway United. Mm. You know, but I do say that I have reservations about anyone coming in from abroad taking over a club, because...
Well, I still don't know exactly who they are.
Yeah, so I guess that the links to the Al Hilal is something that I'd be encouraged by. Cause I think, judging by, in general, the track record of these guys, if they have been involved in one or two clubs before, and they seem to have done a good job.
Okay. Yeah. In clubs in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, certainly Al Hilal and Al Hilal. Like Al Hilal, I was just looking this up actually before I wrote a piece on it there lately. They had a sponsorship deal of 16 million euros 10 years ago. That's their sponsorship deal, right? That's where they're at compared to, like, in the League of Ireland, you might get 50 grand a year for your sponsorship. So maybe the lads need to find out more about them, but the co-op did make the point, you know, if we find out some red flag, we're going straight back to the voters.
Okay, well, that's a fair enough caveat to throw in. We'll keep an eye on it. Johnny, thanks a million.
Not at all, Joe.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.